Hi, my name is Steve Gorski. I'm a civil engineer with Duffield Associates, 5400 Limestone Road, Wilmington, Delaware. I'll be brief. Jim Buquay did a good job covering a lot of the engineering and environmental issues that are involved with this property. I just want to extend some of that discourse. The site, as you're aware, is presently farmland. There's a small wooded tract in the far northeast corner of the property. There is an existing...
excuse me just for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a fire siren now, and you. I can't control the siren. I'm doing my best to control you. Please keep the chatter down. Let's focus on what this gentleman has to say. Go ahead.
There's also an unpaved driveway, easement and driveway in the middle of the property that runs through the farm field that serves a house 1,000 feet behind the property line to the east. The site slopes gently from Route 1 eastward, elevation 26 down to about elevation 10. What was prepared and submitted as part of record as a stormwater assessment study presented that shows exhibits that also extend that there are no wetlands on site, there are no wellhead protection areas on site, there are no public wells or private wells within the area. There are no tax ditches or tax ditch right-of-ways on site. There are also no 100-year floodplains, either tidal or riverine on site. Our lowest elevation is 10, which is above the tidal elevation. There is, however, a subaqueous ditch on the eastern property line. It's a small intermittent stream. We do anticipate some minor permitting requirements there for stormwater outfall. The site was also defined by DENREC, Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, as an area of excellent groundwater recharge. And I'll get to that in a moment. As far as utilities, Jim already mentioned we have adequate ability to serve letters from Tidewater for water services, pressure, and flows, and a fire flow test performed show very, very, very good flows, as well as pressure. Sewer service will be provided by Artesian. We are presenting, expecting about 90,000 gallons per day for sewage. Requirements for 300 EDUs, equivalent dwelling units. We were told by Artesian that they have about 300,000 gallons per day capacity in their system that we would drain to. They also provided a letter, and that's in the back of the amended environmental site assessment. We had originally looked at Tidewater as an option for wastewater. We decided Artesian was a better, it was closer to the site. By quite a bit, 3 or 4 miles closer, and their system had better capacity and less other problems. The force main will be constructed by a developer connecting from the site as well as a pump station to a connection in Cave Neck Road about 4,000 feet west on Cave Neck Road from the site. Now, briefly, the proposed site, I know this isn't about the site plan. I just wanted to bring a few things up that are germane to the discussion. Access will be provided on Route 1 with a grade-separated bridge, as Jim had mentioned, and Wes will get into in a minute. There will be a right-of-way dedication along the Route 1 frontage that Deldite has requested, up to 80 feet in width. That totals about 6 acres of right-of-way to be dedicated for public use for future use by DelDOT. There is a buffer requirement since the land to the north is in agricultural preservation. There is a 50-foot agricultural buffer requirement, which means you can't put occupiable spaces within that 50 feet. At this time, we're well beyond that limit. Our closest building at this point is 75 feet, and it varies up to about 150 feet away. There will be a bus shelter proposed on site. That was at the request of DLDOT and DART in their TIS letter from September of 2014. Now, as far as one last thing I want to get into is the existing condition of the soils on site and the proposed stormwater management and its effect on the Great Marsh. We had a preliminary soils report prepared by a consultant in March of this year, last month. We did so, we wanted to perform it during a high groundwater stage, high seasonal groundwater, where water tables underground are expected to be high, the highest they would be during a given year. We had 24 borings performed, and it showed estimated depths to groundwater exceeding 6 feet up to 10 feet in some areas and even beyond that. This is helpful for in a minute for infiltration of soils of stormwater management. The infiltratability rate exceeds 10 inches per hour to over 20 inches per hour on site. This is outstanding infiltration rates. In my professional opinion, those rates are well above what I'm used to seeing in most jurisdictions. And it backs into the fact that it is in an excellent groundwater recharge area, which includes areas that are coarsely sand or gravel. What this means is stormwater management systems that we're proposing, bioretention, which is relies on infiltration of soils, will be readily can performed and will be easily prepared. Most of the stormwater from the parking lots will be discharged into approximately 50 bioretention areas. They will then discharge into the groundwater, into the ground, I should say, after being filtered through a media and plant material at the surface. Additionally, several wet ponds will be proposed for quantity control, peak discharge, and volume controls for 10-year and 100-year frequency storms. They're the larger blue areas you see on the site plan. They're there primarily for a couple reasons, for fill material, for borrow material also, but the large volume generated, the runoff generated from the parking lots and rooftops will be contained in those ponds, and they'll be sized accordingly. All we do for storm management has to be approved by Sussex Conservation District, as you're aware. We are designing this in compliance with the latest regulations that were adopted in 2014. We're not asking for any waivers. We will exceed the requirements for resource protection volume requirements, 10-year management, and 100-year management. In addition, there's one more piece. This is in a source water protection area. The county, for this type of use, with this type of impervious surfaces, requires that the rooftop runoff is collected in roof drains and discharged into infiltration pits underground. We are prepared to provide all that. So in short, as far as the Great Marsh impacts, storm management will be and must be provided on site. Quality control will be provided. Quantity control will be provided such that water leaving the site will be cleaner than existing conditions, and the peak rates will be less as well. The size of the site, although it is 100 acres, it's a big site. However, the Great Marsh is in a much larger watershed. The site contained within it is less than 1% of the overall watershed. So that also factors into my professional opinion that the Great Marsh impacts will be negligible, if any. So that's all I had to say on my end. Wes Gucker will talk about traffic.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening. For the record, my name is Wes Guckert. I'm president of the Traffic Group. We're a firm of traffic engineers and transportation planners. And as Steve indicated, Jim Fuquay really did cover quite a bit of the things that deal with traffic impacts and transportation planning. Let me go through just a few things, and I mean just a few things. Jim had a bazillion more pages than I have as it relates to notes. So we conducted our traffic impact analysis and dated May of 2014, and it's a small telephone book of data that we produced at the request of DelDOT. And the scope of work for this study was established in December of 2013. And DelDOT decides, I think as the Planning Commission knows, DelDOT decides what we study, how we study, where we study. The type of analysis that we undertake, where we take it, and the process that we use to undertake that type of analysis. We use capacity software as they requested. We use seasonal adjustment factors on all of the roadways. We had a review of DelDOT's other projects. And of course, most importantly, one of the most important things is that we reviewed their corridor capacity preservation program that was established in 2002. We found that the existing roadway network was operating acceptably following their rules and procedures and guidelines, and that the CCPP limits where and how access will be provided to this property along US 1. And by that, and Jim indicated as well, the CCPP requires that traffic signals be eliminated or reduced, and requires that an interchange be built at this location along US 1. And as discussed earlier, the DelDOT requiring that interchange, DelDOT is also requiring that this applicant pay $8 million towards that interchange, and that the other access will be a right-in, right-out. But DelDOT also indicated that until that interchange is built, principally using the funds of this applicant, that a temporary traffic signal would be allowed, but the applicant is required to put up $8 million for this interchange, which will fulfill the CCPP guidelines and requirements. As you may be aware, in DelDOT rules and regs, we're required to conduct traffic counts during the summer season, both weekday and weekend. And we did that, and we conducted analysis using the DelDOT procedures and guidelines. So in summary, as noted, DelDOT created a very large report in September of 2014, found that the analysis that we conducted after going through several reviews and modifications as they required, but their review concluded that our analysis was correct, our analysis was acceptable, and with the improvements noted in their report and with the interchange, they found it to be acceptable as it relates to this particular project, and found that the impact would be mitigated as a result of the interchange. Thank you.
Okay, sir.
I'm just going to be another minute. In conclusion, I do want to submit for your consideration proposed findings in support of our requested rezoning, which I'll give to Mr. Robertson,
please.
As I have stated numerous times, the sole question before the commission is this parcel of land appropriate for CR1 zoning under the applicable legal criteria. For the reasons I previously stated, the TD Rehoboth LLC's application for CR1 zoning complies clearly with the strategies for state policies and spending. It's in accordance with the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and it's in accordance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan's future land use map. I think many of the people are going to say to you that it shouldn't be in the growth area, but I'm telling you it is in the growth area, so it's not relevant whether someone thinks it shouldn't be. It is in the growth area. The application conforms to the purpose and requirements of the CR1 district and the large-scale use sections of the zoning ordinance, and it's consistent with the comments and opinions expressed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council in the similar CR1 large-scale use rezoning request. For those reasons stated, the answer to the question, is this parcel of land appropriate for CR1 zoning, is a most definite yes as a land use decision. We thank you for your attention. I'm sorry for the length of our presentation, but that will conclude it, other than answering any questions you might have.
All right, so we thank you, Mr. Fuquay. And before we give the commission the opportunity to ask you some questions, I would like to recognize and invite to the podium for some comment our representative from DelDOT, Mr. Brockenbrough, here with us this evening. It is something that we're very pleased this is part of the ongoing plan to improve coordination between the county and the state on our large applications. DelDOT has committed to having a representative here who can speak knowledgeably on DelDOT issues, and I want to thank you, Mr. Brockenbrough, for being here and invite you up to share any comments you might have. I do want to advise everyone that Mr. Brockenbrough nor DelDOT is here to speak on behalf of anyone other than themselves. They are here as a resource for us so that we can make the best decision possible. And with that, Mr. Brockenbrough, if you have any comments you'd like to share with us, we'd like to hear them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have prepared comments. Okay. I would characterize our situation with the applicant as we're still talking.
Okay.
Mr. Guckert mentioned that we were requiring the $8 million contribution towards the grade separation. We do not have a timeline for the grade separation. We have planned long range to install at Cave Neck Road. They have the alternative of waiting for us to build one, or they can build one, or in this case, they've offered $8 million towards our project, and we've said we can work with you and move that up.
Okay. I think that's probably the question that would be on the minds of most folks, would be, if this were to be approved, would be a question of timing. With the applicant's financial participation, do you see that as something that would accelerate the timeline? And would you care to venture a guess on by how much?
We don't have a specific timeline yet. The applicant has characterized the $8 million as though it were going to be a check written to us.
Right.
We would prefer to see, and we're still talking, is that they would build the interchange, build $8 million worth, and we would step in and complete the project. How the money would be transferred from us to them in that case still has to be worked out.
Okay. All right. So you're working on it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. All right. Let's see. Mr. Johnson, do you have any questions for Mr. Fuquay?
This time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from the public before I make
okay,
specific
well,
questions.
You certainly can reserve your right to ask questions later. Mr. Burton?
I'm going to also reserve, but I do have a couple questions for Mr. Fuquay. You mentioned that the red was from Five Points down to this site. but it's really on the west side of the road. Is that correct?
It's on both sides of the road. I said it's entirely on the west side of the road. From Five Points to... Okay.
So the level one is really on the across the street?
No, it's all of level one is across the street from Five Points to Cave Neck Road. On the eastern side, our side, a good portion of that is also on the level one. Unless you have a different map than I do. Is that from the exhibit book?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a page number. It's the last last tab before H. That would be tab G, last page.
Yeah, these areas here are all great.
But that's the only site.
Well, no, down here also. Five Points is down here.
Five Points is up that way, right?
Yeah.
Five Points is here.
So coming down Route 1, these red areas are all level 1.
Okay, but the site is in level 3.
The site is in level 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, please kind of hold it. Let's hold it down.
And level 3 is an area designated for growth.
For growth. And then Mr. Brackenbaugh really answered my other question on the plan. So I'm going to reserve comment until after the public hearing.
All right. Mr. Smith?
I'm fine at this point, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Mr. Ross?
Ditto.
Okay, Ms. Cornwell?
Out at this time.
Okay, Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Okay. Council, anything at this point?
Same, none at this point, thanks.
All right, sir, Mr. Fuquay, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. I suspect that there might be a few, and I want to thank you all for your patience. This is now your time to speak. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of a change of zone number 1770 TD Rehoboth LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay, are any of you representing groups this evening? You are, sir? Okay, you'll go first. You're representing a group also. And then all the way in the back. And then we'll work our way through. And then anyone else who wants to speak is going to be given the opportunity to do so. And we'll start with this gentleman right here. If you would give us your name and the group you're representing.
Glad to. Well, good evening, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Cornwell and gentlemen. My name is Rich Holtkamp. I reside in Painter's Mill, 200 yards from Route 1, the intersection, the famous intersection. Mm. Before I begin, I have a question of order, a rule of order.
Okay, sure.
Mr. Robertson indicated that a speaker can only present once. We have several speakers from the organization, the coalition.
Okay.
I am prepared to open our remarks, and I was prepared to close our remarks, which means I would get up here twice.
Yeah, you can kind of one trip to a person.
I would say, though, it's the same thing if you're a spokesperson.
I would
if
say
you're kind of like
you,
an MC sort of thing where you're going to organize it. That's probably fine.
Yeah, well, if you've got an order that you're going to do things in, we'll waive that for this evening.
Well, I appreciate that.
Just for you.
There was another gentleman that was initially planning to give one of those two segments, and he's not able to be here. So,
all right,
I'm the lucky fellow who got stuck with it.
Well,
but thank you for that courtesy. I appreciate
indeed.
It. As I say, I live in Painter's Mill with my wife, Jean, and I have a dual role here tonight. First, I'm representing my wife and I as concerned private citizens who are greatly concerned with the probable negative impacts the Overbrook Town Center will have if constructed as currently planned. And I appreciated your opening comments about the reasons and what you consider as part of this discussion and consideration, suitability. I was getting a little nervous about all of the other comments that we have about this particular site, but the applicant took an awful lot of time talking about the benefits of this particular site that I'm a little bit more comfortable with presenting the rest of our presentation to the commission here this evening. So, as I mentioned, we're concerned, my wife and I, as private individuals, and we're concerned about the potential negative impact to the in-character community environment and the effect of our property value. My other role here this evening is as a representative of a coalition, which is made up of an awful large group of our local citizens from our communities in the needed area and throughout the Cape region, have joined this coalition and helped us to put together our thoughts and plans and presentation this evening. Our coalition has prepared a PowerPoint presentation for you so that we keep our comments concise and non-repetitive. We don't want to repeat ourselves numerous times. So we put together a PowerPoint presentation, which hopefully will cover all our bases. I will apologize now up front one time, hopefully, that there are a few errors and changes to the document. There's a few repetitions that we didn't catch when we were putting it together, so my apology for that up front.
Interrupt you sure. Just for a second. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a PowerPoint presentation. Very difficult for you to see from where you are. If you wish to see it, by all means, please feel free to get up, walk around to this side of the room. You probably have a pretty good view of it. Totally up to you, but I just want you to feel free to do so. Yeah, and if we could maybe dim the lights a bit.
Just a question, too. With the PowerPoint, for it to be part of the record, are you prepared to give us...
I have exhibit books, which
contain
the entire presentation. If you want, I'll give that to you now because you may want to follow along.
I just want to make sure that what you say gets on a record. Okay, thank you.
Are you an attorney, sir, by the way?
No, I'm not an attorney.
You play one on TV? Did you stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night?
Let me put it this way. I'd like to get paid as one. No, I'm a broken-down, retired chemical engineer.
Well, that's quite all right. You seem very comfortable and at ease, and it just made me wonder.
I appreciate that. But what I am not is an electrical guy, so I don't know how to...
Well... Me neither. That's right. Oh. And where's a 12-year-old when you need one?
Exactly.
You know the username and password?
Me? Oh, my goodness.
That's what happened. It was working before when we got here.
It signed out.
Jane, you know anything about this?
I do not.
Oh, no. Unbelievable.
We do have IT.
It's unfortunate because I have a...
Well, we got...
Here we go.
We got a few other aces up our sleeves here. There might be a way.
Hey.
Not there yet.
The coalition thanks you.
Welcome to Home Shop Network.
There you go. Yeah. Scared to death of what's going to pop up there now.
I know.
It could be dangerous.
Are the IT people still here?
I don't know.
Well, sorry for the delay. It was working fine when we got here.
Yeah,
it was up and running.
Listen, it's quite all right. It's a computer.
It's been resting quite a while.
So. Yeah, it's been asleep for a while. It'll take a while to wake up. Oh, come on.
Can we go check if they're on the hall?
There you go. Something happened. Seems to.
Then just click on yours.
And just click on your folder, maybe. Got a double click.
About quadruple.
There you go.
We'll just tell it to open. Okay. There you go. All right, it's thinking about it.
We needed a break.
All right. Standing. Right.
Well,
so far,
this was to make sure we were at the right place at the right time.
Okay.
Let's see here. Let me just.
Go full screen.
Well, how do you do that? I thought there was a. Wasn't there a bio in here? Bio and.
Yeah. Here we go. I think help's on the way here. Someone walking with quite a bit of authority here.
I taught computer science at Delaware Tech for 15 years.
Great.
And I now teach math. Okay.
Good.
I can do this left-handed.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, don't go too far away.
There we go. I guess that's number one. That's right.
Yeah. You might want to sit near the front.
You can take my seat. Yeah. Give my presentation, too, if you want. Well, the original PowerPoint here, the second page was a brief biography of the key speakers of the coalition, but it's in your exhibit book. Your exhibit books are complete. The second page, and I'm sorry this isn't shown, but it's the site plan for the Overbrook Town Center, and it's the existing data that we have. It's the same diagram as the applicant showed over here. What that does not show is the overpass in question that's gotten a lot of commentary, and. I'd like to just take a moment to comment about that overpass. I know it was DLDOT's intention in their long-term plan to build an overpass there, and I'll tell you what, the residents in that area would welcome it tomorrow. One of DLDOT's key concerns is fatality reduction and hopeful elimination. That site today is a potential hotbed for fatalities, if not major bodily harm vehicle accidents. It's very difficult to get out of our subdivision or enter into our subdivision or going up and down Cave Neck Road to and from Milton and all the communities that are existing and growing along Cave Neck Road. So we welcome the overpass, believe me. It's better than a traffic light. The problem with the existing site and the overpass is that the development is so close to Route 1 that traffic going over the overpass, going north, or going east, I guess, has to go into the subdivision, into the development, and go around several turnarounds and exit either north or south. The same with traffic coming down from the north. It's unfortunate that that slide wasn't provided, but it is in your booklet. It is nothing like the overpasses that were built north on Route 1 that was cited by the applicant. Up in Milford, there is so much room available for the clover leaves to be made in a safe and properly designed manner. This site with an overpass is something that you wouldn't believe. Even DLDOT admits they can't name another example in the entire state for this kind of a design, because the site is so large and so constrained that you cannot enter Route 1 north or south conveniently. And there'll be more discussion on that by another speaker, so I'll let it go at that. But we welcome the overpass, but the way it's configured and the immense nature of the site makes the traffic pattern almost ridiculous and unbelievable, even though it's approved. We understand that, but it does not provide for reduced congestion and for safety, in our opinion. So to talk a little bit about the Overbrook Town Center Coalition, we formed back in January, and it consisted of 30 communities, and we wanted to learn and address all of the issues that are involved in this. We developed a website, and it's listed there, know-otc.org. The coalition was successful in obtaining all the pertinent information relative to the issues and impacts. It provides a history of where we are today in real-time updates going forward. The site is updated regularly with new information as we obtain it, and it's received a lot of favorable comments to its quality and its professionalism. If I may go a bit further on the purpose of the coalition, but our mission was to investigate, learn, and understand and communicate the many complex variables and implications in this rezoning application and construction of the proposed shopping center. The proposed shopping center is all the information we have. If this is rezoned and the developer wants to change it, we'll have to cross that bridge when it comes. Quite frankly, it could be more to our way of thinking, more in character, if they decide to change it, or it could be something completely different. That's up to them within the regulations of the new zoning designation. Now, this has been a daunting task, I can tell you, involving a great number of local and state agencies. We have investigated every law, rule, and regulation we could find that applies to this case. We have talked to many private and public representatives, and I must say that we have been treated with much courtesy and respect. The level we have been treated, the level of cooperation we have received has been outstanding in all cases. In fact, one of our goals is to help and support these very agencies in fulfilling their mission and work. We need these agencies to have the necessary funding and support to serve all of us in better, more complete ways now and for the future. Our guiding principle is not opposition to development per se. We have been accused of that, but it simply is not true. The majority of local residents are new to the Cape region within recent years, benefiting personally and collectively from residential, retail, and other public service developments and expansions. We support ongoing development that is comprehensive, outreaching, maintaining and sustaining the local character, and creates value for all involved, not just a few. We are confident these standards can be achieved if everyone involved communicates, listens, and works together. Let me see if this is the right. Our community outreach has generated these kinds of responses. Mr. Robertson entered into the file a whole host of personal letters and petitions. This is a rundown of about a week ago. 500 letters were sent to the commission and others, the council and newspapers, 900 petition signatures. We've had 30 at least community meetings. It seems like 80, to be honest with you, but the leadership has had many, many, many meetings to ensure accuracy and completeness. We've had well over 4,000 website hits, and we've just initiated some social media sites, Facebook and Twitter. This is what we've heard. Does an 850,000 square foot regional shopping center fit with the present character of the area? Is there a need for more retail to serve the commercial needs of Eastern County residents? Is the proposed regional shopping center consistent, or is it in conflict with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan? How will public safety be impacted? That is, traffic congestion, accidents, crime, emergency response times, etc. How will the environment be protected? Freshwater aquifers, recharge, stormwater runoff treatment, wetlands, and coastal ecosystems. And what is the future tax burden on Sussex County property owners? Now, the applicant responded to many of those questions. And we have read the comprehensive plan, and we have looked at the regulations involved with wetlands, silt, and stormwater management. And I'll be talking about that a little bit later in the presentation. But we recognize that there are solutions to some of those things. And there's some conflict and confusion, maybe questions that we have about what the comprehensive plan really says. And, you know, we can take exception to some of the feelings and rulings that may be proposed here this evening and elsewhere. Now, this is another view of the proposed site and how it fits into the local area. It does show the site, Overbrook proposed town center. Painter's Mill is at the bottom left. Red Fox Run is another community that's directly facing this proposed development, and they have been a major part of our coalition. This gives you a better idea of how close this town center is to the Great Marsh and environmentally protected areas and wildlife habitats. Now, again, I realize that experts have said that this site development will protect those sites, and I'll be commenting on that a little bit later. One other thing that I want to comment on, the town center, when we show residents and people who are concerned, and initially when this whole thing came up back in December again, people were in favor of it. They figured, hey, you know, that sounds like a good idea. Town center sounds very nice. We all have our own image of what a town center is. So when you show them the plan, the site, you look at it, it's there. You say, well, where's the town? And as it's been pointed out, the nearest towns are 5.5 miles away. Where's the center? Well, it's 5,100 parking places. And people say, wow, that's not what I thought of as a town center. So I wanted to make that point as well. New development is going to impact this proposed shopping center is going to impact and really change the character of that entire region, which I think is clear and evident on this overhead map. Even though there are some commercial activities down south on Route 1, just behind our subdivision, but they're nowhere near as massive. They have service roads, there's direct access off of Route 1, and the volume of traffic is not even close to what this proposal will generate. Now, the applicant has said that Sussex County needs more higher-end retail, but we've asked the question, where are they drawing their data? I'll just state that have they provided an analysis to the commission? Has the developer provided an analysis of retailer goods and services currently available in the marketplace that may be in conflict or competition that's already available? And our thought was, without proper analysis, then how do we not run the risk of repeating what has already happened through the state with examples like the Vineyards on Route 9, the Blue Hen Mall in Dover, and the Riverfront in Wilmington, Delaware, if you're familiar with that. I happen to be. Now, the applicant has addressed these concerns, and I think, in honesty, To be fair and accurate, the applicant has, I understand, submitted market analysis of the area. They have done demographic studies, population densities, and so forth. So perhaps this particular slide is a bit accusatory and maybe not up to date. So I want to recognize that. And they have, in fact, cited a few large retailers, their interest in perhaps relocating here to the coastal region in Sussex County. And, you know, we have some information in that regard to follow, but I think this that particular slide, this particular one, is a bit out of date, and I want to recognize that a lot of this work has, in fact, been done, as you would expect from a professional developer in commercial areas. Now, we understand and recognize that the commission considers and votes on the basis of what's good for Sussex County. Now, this surely has to be the final conclusion reached by the majority of the commission. But in reality, what's good for Sussex County is a complex equation with many critical and important factors. Partial, impartial, reality, and speculation. They all have owners, advocates, and critics. What's good has to mean for the benefit of our large overall population and all of the support service entities that comprise our community. All of us together are the county. Considering what's good leads us to identifying the rights and needs of many, if not the majority, of many entities involved. We must and should consider the rights and needs of a property owner, a developer, private businesses and retailers, public service providers, in all its forms, local, county, and state agencies, and hopefully, more importantly, the population, the public as a whole. The final decision, a best outcome, is the challenge. We probably wish it was all a clear and easy choice, but it's not. What's concerning and frustrating is that the rights and needs of the public, the individual citizens, their communities and neighborhoods, the majority, too many times, are being defined and decided by others, special interests and minority groups, public agencies, etc. Their needs and rights seem to outweigh the public's. Perhaps we do need increases in development, shopping opportunities, etc., but being told and not asked is becoming more of a public concern and irritation. In addition, the public outcry and demand for more comprehensive planning and execution with concurrent increases in infrastructure and public services, attention and preservation of our environment and ecosystems, maintenance to a logical degree of our in-character communities is increasingly incomplete. Actions are being met with intelligent and increasing vocal reactions. Fulfilling all of our true needs goes beyond what we've experienced in the past and continues today. That concludes my first appearance here this evening, and I'd like to turn the podium over to our next presenter, Rusty Kruglak.
Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the instructions that our attorney gave in the beginning. The instruction was that there was to be no applause, no cheering, none of that. I appreciate it. I understand that your emotions are high in this regard, but I'm going to ask you if you would kindly restrain yourselves because it is time-consuming. Okay. You may leave if you don't like the way this hearing is being conducted.
I couldn't find a 12-year-old, so if it's okay with you, I'm going to have Cindy come up and help me with the PowerPoint.
Outstanding. You would give us your name, sir?
Yes. My name is Ross Kruglak. I live in Milton, Delaware. Specifically, I live in Painter's Mill, which is right across the street from the proposed shopping center. I am a member of the OTCC, the Overbrook Town Center Coalition. As a member of the OTCC, I'm responsible for the outreach program. I spearheaded the petition drive. In doing that, I personally went to multiple neighborhoods in and around the area and went door to door and spoke to residents of Sussex County. And in doing so, I also met with leaders of various groups and organizations, including town councils and chambers of commerce. This gave me a true sense of people's reactions to this proposal. The question I asked him was very simple. Is this project good for Sussex County? With the exception of two people that said yes, and elected officials that said they could not comment one way or the other, everybody else, and I'm talking about hundreds of individuals, said, no, it's not. Now, let me be clear about this. It's not that the residents of Sussex County are against development. They want balanced development. The OTC is a massive project that does not fit in with the character of the area, and it's going to have a negative ripple effect on the traffic, the environment, and public safety. There's a lot of misinformation on OTC. Let's see if we can clear this up this evening. I want to show you a copy of the site proposal that the developer has issued. Now, I understand in the last few days he's made some minor changes, but for our discussion tonight, they're not pertinent. As you can see, you have a proposed shopping center of approximately 857,000 square feet, larger than all three Tanger outlets combined. You also have parking for 5,200 vehicles. And yet within this entire complex, you only have 22 retail stores. So I guess we can assume that they're going to try to bring in national retailers. A shopping center three times, all three outlets combined. Really? Do we really need that? Many people that I talked to told me they don't mind a shopping center. In fact, they wish they had a Target or a Kohl's. A Wegmans or a Whole Foods would be nice too. But these stores are likely not coming. Sussex County does not have the demographics that major retailers require before they'll open a store. Let me share some examples with you. Whole Foods requires 200,000 people within a 20-minute drive, and they prefer a standalone facility. The total population, based on the latest census in Sussex County, is 210,000 people, about 210 per square mile.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
For the record on this, because I just need to know what's the basis for that statement. If the commission's going to rely on a statement like that as to demographics for Whole Foods, I have to know whether you
right
work.
It came right off the website. All the figures I'm going to quote you are right from the corporate websites.
Okay.
Right? I'm only going to use facts tonight, nothing else. Wegmans, they don't have any plans for opening any stores in Delaware over the next 3 to 5 years. They're focusing on the Mid-Atlantic region, specifically Maryland and Virginia. Kohl's, they want 87,000 square feet on 7 acres, and they want to be located in a major market area. They prefer to own their own real estate, not lease. They also require 200,000 residents in the area, as well as proximity to national and regional retailers. Target, everybody's first choice, has a requirement of a median age of 40, a median income of $64,000. 43% of the families have children at home.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You seem to be implying that there are certain retailers that you would welcome at this site. And the whole purpose of this hearing is to determine whether or not any retailers are appropriate at that site, because this is a zoning question. And what I'm concerned is that your discussion, your case here, seems to be structured around specific retailers, which is just beyond the scope of what we're doing here.
Okay? It's not so much specific retailers. I'm using these as examples.
Okay.
But if you look at the site proposal, the way it's currently designed,
right. Okay,
they want to attract large national retailers. And my point is the large national retailers have requirements that we do not meet. we don't meet them. Okay? So if I'm off base here, Mr. Chairman, please stop me.
I just want to remind you that that the issue we have to decide is whether or not this site is appropriate for the zoning that is being requested.
Well, I heard that earlier, Mr. Chairman, and my concern is that once this site is zoned commercial, that takes away all of the conversation. Because once this site is zoned commercial, they can do pretty much anything they want within the county guidelines.
Precisely what you're exactly right.
Right.
Whatever is permitted in the code under the CR1 zoning would be permitted on that site.
Right.
That's why it's such a very serious issue.
So my question is then, if they get the CR1 zoning and they're allowed to build pretty much whatever they want, again within the guidelines of the county, and they want to build something like this, or they propose to do it, and they do in fact build it, but nobody comes. What effect does that have on the residents of the county? Right? And that's really the purpose of my speech, so I'll continue, and if I'm off base a little bit, let me know.
No, well, I just wanted to, I want you to have all the time you need, and we want to hear your presentation.
Well, when I mentioned Target, Target is actually making a priority of putting in smaller stores in urban areas. In fact, Target closed all their stores in Canada. Goldman Sachs predicts a decline for Target and Walmart and says superstores are struggling. The big box stores are losing market share to the dollar stores. Notice how many have been opened in our area. And they're closing more stores than they're opening. And speaking of closing stores, over the last 10 years, JCPenney has closed 33 stores. Macy's has closed 5, Sears has closed over 300. And we all know the effect of how online shopping is affecting bricks and mortar stores. So the question is, do we need additional retail shopping in Sussex County? There are currently 31 shopping centers in Sussex County, each one that has one or more vacancies. Five Points, which is about a mile and a half south of the proposed shopping center, has 28 retail spots and 5 vacancies, about 18%. Rehoboth Mall, which is right in the center of the Route 1 commercial corridor, has 19 retail locations and 16 vacancies. The three tenants in that mall right now are Radio Shack, a hairdresser, and a tailor. Painter's Mill, where I live, right across the street from the proposed shopping center, has 8 retail spaces, 4 of which are currently occupied, a 50% vacancy, and 2 of the retail locations in that center have never been occupied since they built Painter's Mill in 2004. There are currently 159 properties available for lease in Sussex County. Green Street Advisors, a real estate analytics firm, stated 15% of malls will either be converted to non-retail space or fail within the next 10 years. 2 years ago, that estimate was 10%. The April 14th edition of the Cape Gazette states that Delaware is the very last out of all 50 states in wage growth. We're dead last. Hourly wages have actually dropped. Yet, the impact study that the developer has generated claims the OTC will generate 1,500 new jobs and create $53 million in annual compensation. This equates to an annual wage of $35,700 for full-time work, or $17.14 an hour. The actual retail wage in our area is about $8 an hour, and most of these jobs are going to be part-time and or seasonal. Total annual compensation is more likely to be about $7,000, with a total compensation of about $10 million, not $53. Now let's talk about zoning. The developer, once he gets the zoning change from agriculture to commercial, you're right, he doesn't have to build them all. He can build anything he wants. Okay? It could be a manufacturing facility, it could be industrial warehouses, it could be an auto dealership, it could be a car wash. As long as he's within the guidelines, he can do whatever he wants. So if that's the case, what happens to the 1,500 jobs the developer is claiming he's going to create? So to recap, the shopping center will likely not attract large national retailers. We just don't meet the demographics they require. The economic benefit summary as it relates to generated annual compensation report is grossly exaggerated. And the developer won't have to build a shopping center he can pretty much build it again, whatever he wants. So we really have to ask ourselves, is the OTC in the best interest of the residents of Sussex County? And I say, and so do a lot of others, absolutely not. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right. I would like to introduce the next speaker from the coalition, Mr. Norris.
All righty, Mr. Norris.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Gary J. Norris. I live at 16273 John Rowland Trail in the Painters Mill subdivision. I'm speaking as a local property owner who is concerned about the increase in traffic, the value of my home, and the disruption of the residential character of my neighborhood. I've been a professional planner for over 35 years, and I'm part of the OTC Coalition, and I'm the topic leader concerning the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance and the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. So when I have trouble falling asleep at night, I read those ordinances.
I understand. Let me ask you while we have a moment. Are you a certified planner?
Yes, I've been an AICP certified planner for a long time.
And are you testifying as a certified planner this evening?
Yes.
As an expert?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to put that on the record, that you're testifying as an expert. Yes. Okay, good.
As well as a OTC member and a property owner.
I understand. Okay. I understand. But your qualifications are important.
As Mr. Fuqua mentioned concerning this regional shopping center, is the area proposed to be rezoned an appropriate area for the shopping center? In my opinion, this is not an appropriate area for a regional shopping center, and I'll explain my reasoning as well as citing sections from the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. The existing area is comprised mostly of farmland, residences, and small shops, and I had an opportunity to count the number of commercial lots or businesses that Mr. Fuqua showed on the map. There was approximately 15. I know for a fact that Painter's Mill has over 300 residents. Windstone to the west has considerable residential areas. Vincent Overlook has considerable residential areas. And even on the east side of one, there's considerable agricultural. So I would recognize that 15 is probably represents a small percentage of the actual land use for commercial activities. This proposal is not consistent with the comprehensive plan, the future land use plan map, or the map for developed and protected areas. In addition, this area is, as Mr. Fuqua noted, this area is designated as a level 3 according to the state strategies for spending. While the state of Delaware acknowledges that development in investment level 3 areas may be appropriate, there are significant considerations regarding the timing, the phasing, and the site characteristics of this site. These site characteristics include class 1 soils, excellent recharge area for water, and the two county overlay zoning districts, which provide additional safeguards. The proposed development would have a detrimental effect on the health, safety, and welfare of the nearby residents. The proposed rezoning will cause a detrimental effect on water quality, both for wells and to the Great Marsh, air quality, light pollution, traffic gridlock, and visual blight. The applicant has argued that the plan supports or promotes the change in zone to CR1, but the comprehensive plan states the existing AR1 zoning is just as appropriate. A change in zone is not by right, and the comprehensive plan does not mandate a change to CR1 for this property. The commission must also be wary of spot zoning. The doctrine of spot zoning is that a single property should not be singled out for the benefit, to the detriment, or to the detriment of others. and that no property should be rezoned out of context with the surrounding zoning and uses, and it doesn't matter how big the property is. Again, I'm citing the specific section of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, and I would pay particular attention to the bold print where it says a general mix of commercial and service activity now exist, and uses that are not characterized by frequent heavy trucking activity. I've looked at the site plan, even though that's not a consideration, but there are in excess of 25 loading docks for this proposed development, which to me means that there's going to be a substantial increase in truck traffic for this proposed use, which would be in conflict with the purpose of the CR1 zoning district, because it mentions frequent, not characterized by frequent heavy truck traffic. Just a brief summary. I've reviewed this proposed development and have the following specific comments, and I intend to be brief on this. Again, under large-scale uses, I've mentioned about the heavy truck traffic regarding Section 115-116 design standards. I believe that the developer has failed to meet the required design standards contained in the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. According to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, development should be based on rational site planning and forward-thinking design elements. This proposed development is just a plain 1950s shopping center. According to the comprehensive plan under community design standards, and I'm going to quote some of this, it is important to maintain an attractive environment for economic development reasons. If Sussex County becomes unattractive with garish signs, excessive numbers of billboards, cookie-cutter shopping malls, destruction of natural features, and monotonous construction, such as the shopping center, it will harm economic growth. On page 11-4 of the comprehensive plan, there is a picture of a Walgreens drugstore with a pitched roof and with green vinyl siding. And the caption states, under design standards, the following design standards should be considered in new development. The design of the shopping center does not meet the goals of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. In addition, this area or the proposed rezoning is in two overlay zones. It's in the combined highway corridor overlay zone, and the purpose of the combined highway corridor overlay zone is to preserve and enhance the aesthetic and visual character of land uses contiguous to those roadways. The guidelines contained in this chapter are to encourage a positive visual experience of development of lands along the corridors. I would ask, is another shopping center going to enhance the aesthetic and visual character of land uses contiguous to the existing development? And will it create a positive visual experience, or will it be just more of the same of sprawl and leapfrog development? Proposal is also in the environmental sensitive developing area, and I have read the comprehensive plan section for this area. And in my opinion, most of the wording contains information about housing. There is only one sentence that mentions retail office or shopping centers and states that they should have access to arterial roads. There is no mention of the best practices of planning for these types of uses. My last slide is from the preface of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, page 1-1. where it states the county's future growth and preservation goals are, in my opinion, this proposed development does not meet. It does not provide direct development to areas with or near community services. It does not conserve the county's agricultural and the value of its farmland. It does not protect critical natural resources, and it does not encourage tourism and other responsible job providers. And it does not provide the best design practices. Thank you very much. And I would like to introduce the next speaker, Mike Iris, who will discuss various traffic statistics.
All right, sir. Could I ask you one question before you leave?
Sure.
You had said in that if this parcel is developed under a C1 or is changed to a CR1 zone, and that it would have a negative impact on the surrounding wells.
Yes.
How would that be, assuming now that we have public water and sewer at this site, I can't imagine that it would be CR1.
I was thinking that this is an excellent recharge area and an aquifer area, so the wells that would use that aquifer could be in peril.
How so?
Well, possibly with the runoff and the runoff from the parking lots not being properly contained through the oil leaking from the cars and things like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Who's next?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Michael Iris. I reside in the Oyster Rock development, which is just under a mile north of where the OTC is planned to be built. I echo the concerns of my predecessors, and I will be very brief because of the late hour.
Oh, it's not late section. Yet. Are you kidding me? Late? You haven't seen late. Go ahead.
After 34 years in law enforcement and retiring, my concern with this was more on a public safety end of things. I did a little bit of homework, and after looking at the numbers from the department, DLDOT's traffic study, and the numbers reflected weekday totals of 27,438, and then the Saturday numbers of 35,764. Traveling in and out of the town center,
yes, sir.
Along with the 27,000 daily traffic that will be running up and down the Route 1 corridor, the combination of that will be immense. If anybody here has been on Route 1 starting now, you're starting to see the backup and the lags and the capabilities of getting out onto Route 1. Are starting to diminish, and I'm on Oyster Rocks Road. Mm. It makes it that much more difficult. With the OTC,
how long have you lived there?
7 years.
7 years. Okay, thanks.
So, and in the beginning, it wasn't as bad. It just seems to have grown, and after Superstorm Sandy, it got that much worse. With the introduction of this town center, my concern is that the traffic is going to become that much worse. In taking those numbers and reflecting the amount of accidents, the average accidents over a two-year period through DLDOT's numbers were 94. Well, if the numbers are going to double in traffic, we're looking at doubling the numbers of accidents. So if we're going to have that many more accidents, that means we're going to need that many more state troopers responding to that area to cover the calls. We're going to need more fire department personnel and vehicles responding, more paramedics, depending on a degree of the injuries of the people in the accidents. And then I looked at the Dover Mall, and they had 672 calls for service to the Dover Mall in 1 year. So with those type of numbers, state troopers responding to the Dover Mall, not the Dover Police department where they're their own police department. It would be state troopers. That's another drain off of law enforcement to respond to the Dover Mall, to the OTC. So is Sussex County going to have to now bring more state troopers and pay for more state troopers? And where does that money come from? Does the taxpayers pay for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That question I can answer for you.
Yeah. So that's basically my concern is the amount of law enforcement officers that are going to be needed. We have volunteers in the fire service, but those are the bodies. The training that they need, the equipment that they would need, and an apparatus that would be needed to assist the OTC, that's unfunded. That's going to have to be paid for somewhere also. Same thing with Sussex County paramedics. And they all do a great job. So I just want to make sure if that's going to happen, that they're taken care of and we get the funding for them. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.